love sports articles but don't have time to search the web looking for the most compelling stories? Then US Sports Pages is for you. Why spend hours going to multiple sites looking to find sports articles when we can do the work for you? Our producers go through every newspaper in the country and pick out the best sports articles separated by sport, dramatically reducing your prep time. We also include sports and entertainment kicker stories. USSportsPages.com is the only site you'll need to get your sports fix. Check us out today. The daily links at USSportsPages.com.
One of Osama bin Laden's sons urging Muslims and followers of al-Qaeda to attack Jewish targets around the world. In a 10-minute video released over the weekend, Hamza bin Laden calls on Muslims, quote, in America, the West, and in occupied Palestine to carry out such attacks. Bin Laden saying it's preferred that the Muslims carry out the attacks where they currently are and that they not travel to Syria. Controversy about a demonstration held in Virginia Saturday night over the removal of a Confederate statue. The mayor of Charlottesville, Virginia, denouncing the demonstration, saying it was either, quote, profoundly ignorant or was designed to instill fear in minority populations.
You will not replace us! You will not replace us!
That was the sound as people with torches, including white nationalist Richard Spencer, protested the removal of the Confederate General Robert E. Lee statue. Spencer telling the crowd, quote, what brings us together is that we are white. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allerute for VRA. In 2003, Kip Herridge founded VRA, his global investment newsletter. His VRA is unlike anything you've ever seen. He's outperformed Wall Street every year since 2003. Today, in honor of the national rollout of my radio show, Kip wants to give every listener his new book for free. It's called Crash Proof Prosperity, Becoming Wealthy in the Age of Trump. To beat the markets and become wealthy in the age of Trump, get your free copy at VRAinsider.com. It's 100% free at VRAinsider.com. That's VRAinsider.com.
The Charlottesville, Virginia mayor denouncing a weekend protest, saying it was either profoundly ignorant or, in his words, designed to instill fear in our minority populations. On Saturday night, dozens of people carrying torches, led by white nationalist Richard Spencer, demonstrated against the removal of a Confederate statue. North Korea saying its latest missile test on Sunday morning proves that country has nuclear capabilities, and it's cautioning the United States again. Here's correspondent Chuck Carroll with more.
North Korea is warning the United States not to underestimate their ability to strike the U.S. mainland. The North's official news agency announced Monday that its latest missile test was aimed at carrying a large-sized nuclear warhead. The isolated communist nation launched a ballistic missile early Sunday that traveled over 430 miles before dropping into the sea off Russia's coast. The country also claims the test proves its nuclear capability. The country's leader, Kim Jong-un, reportedly supervised the missile launch.
A Memphis musician is dead after lighting himself on fire outside a crowded bar. Jared McLemore, suffering severe burns, he died early Saturday morning. He'd poured kerosene on himself outside Murphy's music venue and set himself on fire, streaming the whole thing live on Facebook. Police believe he picked that location because his ex-girlfriend worked there. Find us anytime online. We're at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Local weather here today at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Flemington, the surrounding area. Let's see what's happening this week. Last night, a lot of high wind last week. Saw some roof shingles even on the ground today. So check your roofs. There's some blustery wind. Today, mostly sunny, high near 70. It's getting close to there now, 60 degrees outside right now. our studios. Tonight, mostly clear, low in the 40s. Sunny on Tuesday and Wednesday. Wednesday night, maybe patchy fog after 5 in the morning into Thursday, later Thursday morning. Thursday night, partly cloudy, low around 64. Sunny on Friday and the weekend. It looks all clear from here. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Good morning, or whatever time you're listening here at 100andchamberradio.com. Chef Bill here, Bill Kinslow at Jake's Restaurant here in Flemington. Been in the community over 26 years now, and we're happy to sit down on Mondays and talk about food, drinks, food holidays, celebrations, even a simple family meal, which we always love. So, Mother's Day, the big day for restaurants, is behind us. Very nice, at least around here. Pretty good weather, and people were out. Even Saturday night, the night before, kind of noticed, and still a big day out, even though maybe sometimes both partners in a family may be doing a lot of the housework. We still like to take mom. Mom's special, right? Let's see this week what's coming. Oh, Coquille Saint-Jacques is celebrated this week. It's a French that's the scallop. You know, the white, round, beautiful seafood, very expensive now, as a matter of fact. But the old Coquille Saint-Jacques, that was the scallop. It was almost referring to a recipe where the scallops would be lightly poached and sauced, maybe a white sauce, white wine sauce, and then put back in the scallop shell, and then broiled. And it could refer to anything done like that. It's tough to get the scallops are always shucked at sea, because if you've ever seen a live scallop, first of all, they don't stay live very long out of the water because the shells don't close tightly, unlike a clam or an oyster that are closed up and will survive a little bit outside of water. Scallops don't do that, so they're always shucked. And a lot of the scallop we don't eat in Europe, the roe and the coral, little like orange, pinkish, tongue-looking, you know, just part of the not just the white meat. I used to get those years ago with the roe attached. Very different flavor with the scallops, but it's really just the muscle that holds the shell together. And they go by count per pound. The bay scallops, of course, the small ones. Calicos would come out of Florida all the time, and then we actually had Barnegat Light down here, a lot of scallop landings on the East Coast. I know you go up to New England, of course, there's a lot, but around here it's always nice to be able to use a product that comes in locally. And we sell them at the restaurant at Jake's. We buy usually a 10 to 20 count, so that means there's 10 to 20 scallops per pound. So, you know, average right about an ounce a piece. And I was just my fish company just informed they're landing some bigger ones. If you get a U10 or a U12, which means less than 10 or 12 to the pound, some restaurants will call those diver scallops, and diver just simply means they were harvested by hand by actual divers rather than scooped up. And it's come to mean, if you're serving a real large scallop, they tend to call them divers. I don't know. You know, we just say a jumbo or a large scallop. We don't do that unless I know for a fact they were harvested by hand. And these are best simply cooked. I mean, the smaller ones, you know, we always include them with a fish fry. We serve them seared and over a risotto, which is very good, spinach mushroom risotto. But certainly in the past, I think when I probably get some of these big ones, and it's really nice to float one, sear it, and float one on some a shrimp or a lobster bisque to kind of make the soup a meal. But scallops, very versatile. Again, fairly expensive. You want to get dry ones, not processed ones. The ones that are soaked a little bit, it adds to their weight. So, you know, you're going to spend a little less money, but then when you cook them, it's hard to get them a nice color on them. You really want that sear on the outside, caramelization that happens with the outside of the meats there. And let's see, the other quiche Lorraine is celebrated this week. That's the classic with the either the ham or people put bacon in it, the Swiss or a Gruyere cheese. Quiche, although it may have fallen out of favor a while ago, years ago, but it seems to be back. Eggs are very good, very good meal, good nutrition. We need to, I've seen, you know, eggs are being included more with our diets, even if it's a soft cooked egg, whether it's on a hamburger, on a rice dish, or even, you know, breakfast for dinner isn't a bad thing either. But a quiche or a frittata, which would be almost kind of like a quiche without a crust, if you will, the Italian omelet. But the quiche is a custard with eggs and cheeses and some kind of garnish. Best proportion I found when I worked at Lake Placid Club, the English baker said 10 eggs to a quart of cream. And, of course, then we had light cream. Now everything's half and half. So I'll use half and half, but that proportion of 10 eggs to a quart gives you a good, strong custard. You don't want it too eggy. You want it still to be tender, but you don't want it to be too runny. So it's 5 eggs to a pint. And when you're making a quiche, of course, make sure your eggs are blended well. We used to actually pass them through a strainer to break up any of the whites, especially very fresh eggs. The whites are pretty firm, thick there, before they start to break down. So passing them through a strainer, make sure, A, there's no shells, and, B, the eggs will be nice and homogeneous. And we always like to blind bake the crust first, which means bake them with some pie weights or beans in aluminum foil covering the crust, just maybe 10 minutes just to get it partially cooked so the custard doesn't soak into the crust. And then when you're serving a quiche, obviously a salad would go nicely with it, and we always want to garnish it with something crunchy. So if I had a seafood quiche, I might garnish it with little bits, maybe some fried clam strips or some little something related to what's inside. So maybe if you're doing a classic with ham in it, you may even choose to do some fried onion straws, or if you like hot things, a little make little straws out of jalapenos, julienne. You can just coat them in flour and fry them. But something crunchy always is nice along with the quiche because of the texture, of course, of a quiche is soft. But today, I'm thinking soft-shell crabs. The season just started. We've gotten some in the last couple of weeks. Oftentimes, we'll get earlier in the year. I think around Easter, there's some out of Florida. What happens is the crabs have to molt to grow. And it's the water temperature has to be 68 degrees, and it's with the moon cycles. One of those things in nature that we haven't really been able to duplicate. I'm sure we will someday, but it's when it happens. And it's kind of what makes it neat, too, because you wait all year, May till September, normally the times to find them, and you enjoy the soft-shell crabs. Now, a lot of the harvest does go into the freezer, so they are available year-round, frozen, and not terrible. I mean, sometimes freezing tends to soften the texture of anything, you know, the cellular breakdown there from expansion on freezing. And frozen crabs from a reputable producer, if they've been covered properly so you don't, you know, they get freezer burnt or anything like that, I mean, they will be okay, especially, you know, you're frying them. A lot of times people are using them in sushi. maki rolls, the hand rolls, maybe half a fried crab rolled up in that that ice cream cone shape sushi that's kind of getting popular in a few places in New York now. Instead of the long rolls, the traditional, it's like an ice cream cone, and sometimes there's cooked food in there. It's not just raw or chilled food. So we're going to actually pause for a couple of messages here, and we're going to talk a little bit about soft shells, the sizing, how to buy them, how to clean them, and then some recipe ideas, because after all, I had a tempura crab the other night and just reminded how good they are. I haven't had one since last year, so yeah, we're ready. Chef Bill's Table.
Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the yeast?
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Pambi's Purely Delicious Ice Creamery wants to help you raise money for your local fire company. In honor of International Firefighter Day, Pambi's will be holding a two-week fundraiser beginning May 2nd. Pambi's will donate 25% of your purchase price to your designated fire company. Simply download the flyer from the Pambi's website and bring it to Pambi's, located on Route 31 just north of Payne Road. Pambi's will also donate 25% of your purchase of Pambi's products at ShopRite. They have flyers there too. Honor the men and women who would risk their life to save yours. Pambi's, purely delicious.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
If I can reach the stars. Oh,
welcome back to the table here, Chef Bill. We'll talk about soft shell crabs. So May through September, we said the season. Sometimes get them a little earlier. Sometimes if it's warm, they'll be available a little bit longer. So it is it's our blue crab. So it's not a different species of crab. It's simply our East Coast blue crab. And there are, I think in Southeast Asia, spider crab or swimmer crab, similar. A lot of the imported crab meat is from the blue swimming crab. So, and similar things will occur over there where the crab is molting. So what happens is it sheds its shell, and then for 24 to 48 hours, it's going to regenerate the next shell. And that's the time, of course, they're defenseless, and that's the time to grab them. If you want a soft shell crab, and what happens is the shells start to change color before they're ready to molt. They call these busters, and if you say you're netting a bunch of live crabs, and you see some that are ready to change, or I guess they could even store them in a warm pond, some brackish water just to come up to temperature and molt. So if they're ready, they'll start to, the shell starts to change color. So these, they know they can, they're going to be ready to molt. So in fact, can keep them nearby where they are easily harvested. As I say, they are defenseless, but probably in the wild they choose to hide somewhere, like lobsters. Lobsters grow the same way, and they, you know, they, but they'll be far out of sight there because, again, the creature is defenseless at that time. So we have our soft shell crabs, and again, after the first full moon in May is when it starts. The water has to be warm. So they're in the market. They're always shipped live, like any shellfish, like clams, oysters, or anything. Lobsters always shipped live. And when they're refrigerated, of course, they, you know, they slow down a little bit. They should, legs should move a little bit if you poke them, or if your fishmonger is cleaning them for you. You should see a little bit of movement there. What happens if shellfish dies naturally? Of course, the proteins decompose very, very quickly and not really a good meal. So you want to buy them live, clean them as close to the time you're going to use them as possible. And don't be afraid to ask your fish person to clean them for you. It's very easy to do. It's a, you know, can be a little messy. Have to remove the, if you like to do it yourself, we cut off the eyes and the front of the mouth there. And then you take off what's called the apron, a little, for lack of better words, you know, resemble, I guess it would be the crab's tail. And then we have to take out the gills. And you can use little kitchen shears for this, or if your hands are good, you can pull them out. And we like to also, there's the tomale, just like there is in lobster, and that's got some flavor, but we will make sure we take out some of the innards there. So I use the tip of a knife when I've cut the eyes off, just scrape out the some of the stuff you're not going to eat. And then the crab's ready to go. Everything else is edible. And takes well to many cooking methods. Now the sizes, and it goes by the measurement from point to point on the shell. You've got medium, and then it goes, you'll see one that's hotel and a hotel prime. The hotels are probably 3.5 to 4 inches across. The prime's a little bit more than that. You have jumbo, 4.5 inch across. Then the whales are 5 inches and over. We like to buy the whales at the restaurant, the nice big ones. Of course, again, you pay more money as you get larger crabs, just like with shrimp or lobsters or anything else. It depends on what your use is going to be. If you're going to serve them as a little nosh, or, you know, depending on the size of the sandwich, jumbos would work. Some places use the primes and serve several crabs. I guess if you were having them in a pasta dish or something, you might want to do that. But we like the whales. Plenty of meat, of course, in the body cavity. And the neat thing about soft shells is you don't have to work at it. If you buy a blue crab, you boil them in your spicy beer and cider or whatever else you decide to do it in. And then you have to, of course, crack them with a mallet. And you've got the pick there to get the meat out. And it's a little bit of work. The beauty of the soft shell is you're eating the whole thing. Now, the shells are not mushy. They shouldn't be. If a crab is mushy, again, that's one that didn't make it. If you ever poke one and it's very, very soft, that's the one, you know, you don't buy it. Or if you've bought it, unfortunately, you got to throw it out. That's no good. So we've got our crabs cleaned. The best way, of course, if you haven't had them before, usually they're served fried. And a couple of reasons. Obviously, frying seafood is a great way. Nice, clean oil and proper temperature, proper coating. Nothing better. It's quick to do. Keeps the moisture inside. And because the shell does have a little texture, having that coating on the outside kind of helps with that. You're already expecting a crunch anyway. And on a sandwich, also normally served with some kind of slaw. It could be a coleslaw, it could be some pickled julienne vegetables, something crunchy on the sandwich also. And that way you don't really notice that extra crunch of the soft shell. Sometimes what happens if the crab has been harvested a little bit longer than after it molted, they're firm. They're called leatherbacks. And what happens with those is, of course, the top of the shell is pretty much, you know, going to be a little too much to go for. The rest of the meat and the legs should be good, but leatherbacks, again, touch is the way to figure it out. If you're buying them, you always always take the back of the fingernail, run it over the crab, see if they're alive, and then make sure they're not mushy and check the back shell, the top shell, and make sure it's not too leathery, we call it. Because you're going to pay good money, and you want to make sure that you're getting the right product. So frying. So simple. Now, what we'll do for a sandwich or an appetizer is we dip them in milk, and you could use buttermilk, I suppose. Milk is fine. And then we have a mix of flour and corn flour. Not cornmeal, but you can coat them with cornmeal also, a little bit crunchier, thicker coating. But we have a mixture of flour and corn flour. Or you could use masa harina, if you like, finely ground cornmeal. And in that, you know, you have a little seasoning. You can actually put a little baking powder in there if you want it to fluff a little bit more. So in the milk and in that flour mix, coat it very well, and then into 350 degrees fryer. Now, usually the crabs will float right away, so you're either going to turn them over after about 30 seconds or so, or what we'll do is put another basket on top, let it be submerged, and really, literally, it only takes a minute or so. So if you're doing them at home, you could use a small pot. You could shallow fry if you want, or you could deep fry them one at a time, let them drain on some paper towel or on a rack so they stay crispy. You don't want to put fried food on a plate right away because the steam will soften the crust on the outside. So fried crabs, then whatever kind of sauce, hot or cold, you'd like to serve with them, or put them on your sandwich with, again, something crunchy. If you like the, you know, a tartar, a remoulade, or cocktail sauce, whatever you like, we have a variety of sauces at Jake's that we use. One of our favorite ways is tempura. So tempura, of course, takes frying to another level. And you can make a tempura batter very simply. You could use rice flour and club soda. Or you could buy a tempura batter mix if you like. But basically, needs water. You don't want a lot of fat. The more fat you have in a batter, the less crunchy your coating will be. So simplest one, just flour and water. And you want it, you know, about a little thinner than heavy cream, or maybe like heavy cream. So you want it to coat the product, but not so much that it just makes like a soggy filling. It's not like a corn dog where you want a lot of that batter around it. You want the opposite. If you've ever had tempura in a restaurant, especially a Japanese restaurant, you see you can almost see through the tempura coating. So you've got that crunch there, unbelievable crunch. But you can see the product through there. You think, oh, this is, you know, they didn't coat it enough. But trust me, the texture is where it all lives. The nice thing about tempura is it does not mask the product that much. So what we'll do is tempura, and ours is, you know, probably a little bit thicker than you'd get in a traditional tempura. You could use an ale batter if you like a fish and chip batter. But we served it on a salad. And we call it, for lack of a better term, an Asian-inspired salad. So we'll use spring mix and Napa cabbage. Again, you want some crunch in there. And then some shredded carrots, some julienne snow peas, broccoli. Another crunch factor is either some fried wonton strips, or we'll use even the fried chow mein noodles. Put some crunch in there. And we'll toss that with a sesame vinaigrette, an emulsified sesame vinaigrette, which you can make with, of course, sesame seeds and some oil. Tahini would be a good way to thicken it up. You use sesame paste there. And it's a little kind of a sweet and sour. Goes well, kind of nutty, without worrying about peanuts. You could use a peanut dressing, certainly, if you like. But sesame is a little bit milder. Sesame is good. And then we make a dipping sauce, as if you needed more richness, right? a mayonnaise-based sauce with some of the that sweet, spicy Thai chili sauce that you can get now. Several companies probably make it. And a little bit of sriracha, that nice chili paste. So we mix that. And you can mix the, you know, the proportions that you like. So you've got, again, some sweet and heat. And then, of course, the mayonnaise, always good for a dip. So you have your crab, you have your salad, and mayo. Kind of a pretty rich meal, but you, really one crab will do it for you on this, a nice large crab. And very satisfying. We've got a break for news, and we'll be back at the table and cook some more soft-shell crabs at Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
I was a little surprised it wasn't as sophisticated as I'd expected.
That's a good guy hacker who was able to shut down a massive global cyber attack a few days ago for a while. But that massive attack is up and running again, attacking new computers all around the globe. Meanwhile, the president of Microsoft says the government's largely to blame for cyber attacks like this one. Brad Smith saying the WannaCry ransomware attack focuses on a Microsoft security flaw that was uncovered and used by the NSA and was then stolen and exploited. A Republican senator has advice for President Trump as he seeks to replace the FBI director.
The FBI director has a 10-year term for a reason, because it's supposed to be insulated from politics.
Senator Ben Sasse saying on CBS this morning Trump should avoid appointing any politicians to head the bureau. This is USA Radio News.
If you really want thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair, over 1 million Ovation Cell Therapy customers will tell you. Ovation really works, and it's guaranteed for a full year. No other hair care product makes that promise. Not one.
I noticed my hair getting stronger within the first 2 weeks. The condition of my hair was so noticeable that I began telling all my friends about Ovation Cell Therapy. And now my friends are telling their friends about Ovation Cell Therapy. It's that good.
There is only one Ovation Cell Therapy hair and scalp treatment. With Ovation's high levels of proteins and amino acids, Ovation Cell Therapy is clinically proven to reduce breakage, increase bounce, body, luster, and shine. All you need is your favorite shampoo and conditioner and your new third bottle in the shower, Ovation Cell Therapy. For thicker, stronger, longer, and healthier-looking hair, go now to ovationhair.com and order today. New customers should select Angie Austin at checkout to save even more. That's ovationhair.com.
Chef Bill's Table at 100andchamberradio.com, talking about soft-shell crabs and what to do with them. Our favorite, our guests at Jake's, of course, and hey, over the years since I've, actually since I've been in New Jersey cooking these things, is sautéed. And it's a simple scallion, garlic butter. But again, it's really about the technique. So what we do is we have seasoned flour, and we'll use Wonder flour. Gives it a lighter, again, lighter coating. You don't get clumping. It's nice and the pre-gelatinized flour, seasoned flour. And we start with either a little clarified butter or some canola oil, your choice. You can use canola oil because we're going to finish the sauce with whole butter anyway. So you don't want it smoking hot. You want it hot enough to sizzle. And we put the top side of the shell down first. Usually when, you know, we're sautéing or frying, in culinary terms, we'll put down what's called the presentation side. We will put that down first. That gets the best sear, and then you'll flip over and finish. Well, I do it the opposite way. We start with the top side of the shell, and we don't cook them very rapidly. A lot of recipes will say, oh, you know, and like frying, you can cook them quickly. I like to cook them for a little bit longer time with the top shell in the oil. And this is going to pull flavor out of it. The shell, after all, is where the flavor is It's just like the bones in meat or poultry, give you a nice flavor. The shell with shellfish is where all the flavor is, or a lot of flavor, let's say. So we cook them for quite a while, you know, a few minutes topside down, and then we'll turn it over, and that's when we finish. Now, at this point, you can either fry the other side, take the crabs out of the pan and make a sauce, but we kind of make the sauce right in the pan, and the underside, which is actually going to be our presentation side, that cooks more with a moist heat. So we have our white wine, we have scallions, which that nice mild onion flavor. You can use shell. I like scallions because they use the green part too. Looks nice. And again, a little minced garlic, white wine, lemon juice, and whole butter and parsley. And as that sauce comes to a boil and reduces, it gets a little bit thick. You know, you've got a little, you know, dusting of flour there, but it creates a kind of a temporary emulsion. And flip the crabs back over, so they're actually served on their back. A lot of places you'll see, or you see pictures even of crabs. They have the they're served the same way they would exist, with the top side, the top shell up. I do them the other way, and it's just something I've always done. It works. Sauteed is still the main way that we sell the crabs. We give guests all kinds of choices. You can do fried, tempura, if people want them grilled. You know, it's once in a while somebody wants a francais, which dipped in the egg batter. I think that's a little bit overkill, but it's not. I mean, if you've got smaller crabs and you want to kind of expand the yield out of them, you know, dipping them in a little egg wash after the flour and sauteing them, it's different. Crab and egg works very well together. So that, again, with your lemon sauce, and you've got another variation on a sauteed crab. Of course, with this, the crab, I mean, any kind of potato or rice would work well with it. Some people like it over fresh pasta, which is, you know, you make a little bit extra sauce. Nice vegetable right now that we're doing is we're calling a spring pea medley. I'm sure you've seen these. And unfortunately, where we are, we're not getting access to fresh English peas. And when you see them in the market, I mean, they're very perishable. It's actually worse than corn as far as losing the sugar. Once they're harvested, they deteriorate. Well, they don't go bad, but they lose that sweetness. So frozen peas, and you'll see many recipes, even, you know, top-rated places. You know, frozen peas are still one of the better things out there because they can capture the vegetable at its peak of flavor, kind of lock it in time there, and then you've got it. Plus, you don't have all that labor. But also, peas, you could, even this time of year, fava beans, which, again, they're a little bit more work. But that could be a possibility. But we use the snow peas and the snap peas. And the snow peas are the pea pods that are flat. So the actual little peas inside are very, very tiny. And the sugar snap peas, which are good raw, both of these are good raw anyway, the snap peas and the snow peas. The sugar snaps, if you really wanted to, I guess you could shell those and get some really tiny peas out of them, but the pod is edible also. So we will saute these. You have your frozen peas, which are already blanched, so you don't need to cook those anymore. And the snap peas and the snow peas. And you could use a little chicken broth if you like, or vegetable broth. We use it kind of for the salting. But we make a lemon pepper butter. And the first time I did it, I softened some butter. I put in some fresh cracked black pepper, coarse cracked, or regular grind, whatever you like. A little Worcestershire sauce and some lemon juice, and blended that together, made a compound butter just like you would put on a steak or a chop or a piece of fish. And that worked out. The lemon and pepper was nice. The other option would be, I guess you can get a lemon pepper seasoning out there. So it has the dried lemon in it, so you could use that with the lemon juice and a little bit of acid, when you're cooking this vegetable, you obviously don't want to cook it too long, but we would do them. It can't sit because that little acidity in the water in your broth there will dull the color of the peas, the nice fresh color. So lemon juice is okay. Lemon zest would be good. Lemon pepper seasoning. But anyway, a spring pea medley, serving it with especially seafood right now, with our salmon dish. We've done it with halibut. Did a little asparagus risotto and a spring pea medley, just kind of showcase the spring vegetables there. Would be a nice accompaniment to these sautéed crabs. Now, as far as on the grill, and this is another neat thing, I've done it on a couple of occasions, and here's where you get the nice big crabs, good for that. We like to put them in a light marinade. They don't need to cook. They don't need to obviously be tenderized, but you want that little bit of, some oil and white wine. I wouldn't put too much acid in there because, again, if they're sitting there, the acid will start to cook the meat like a ceviche type thing. So, and a fresh herb of your choice. Again, start them of the top shell side down first. I like to, when I'm doing any kind of shellfish, I like to cook it on the shell side first and then just flip it and finish it at the end. So in other words, say I'm doing a lobster tail. I will split the tail through the curved part, open it up, and then what I'll do is loosen the meat and lay it back in the shell, but I'll put the shell side down, and this way the meat is going to cook through the shell. The shell gets that nice, nutty, toasty flavor that it adds to the meat, protects the meat from burning, and we'll let that lobster tail cook, more than halfway through on the shell side, and then just baste it and flip it over. You've got a short finishing time. Again, seafood does not need to be cooked that long, and it doesn't need to be cooked to the blazing hot temperature because the meat's very delicate. You just lose too much moisture. If there's a way to make seafood tough, that's the way to do it, is cook all the water out of it. So with these crabs, again, served on a sandwich, but grilled instead of fried, you don't have that extra coating. It's pretty easy to do in the summertime. It's a lot, probably easier than making seafood kebabs. So a grilled soft shell, either on a salad again or a sandwich, maybe not a bad idea as a choice on one of your next cookouts. And now, pasta. And this is kind of a favorite of some. A red sauce or a white sauce. And you know what? Crab meat in a red sauce is good. If you have a good red sauce, anything's good in it, right? If I was putting, there's a couple of ways to approach putting something like soft shells in a red sauce. You can make your sauce, and you can make it, the hot sauce is even better, right? We like that spiciness with the crab. You can simply simmer the crabs in the sauce. They're not going to take that long to do. And if you want to cut them up into a couple of pieces, that's fine, or you could serve them whole. Another way would be to saute them first lightly, get that little bit of, browning and, caramelization on the outside, seasoning, and then add the sauce to them and simmer. But no matter what, it really does not take that long to cook. It's one of these quick meals. I think the only thing quicker is if you just took pasteurized crab meat and put it in the sauce just to warm it up. We've actually been doing that with a tomato soup at lunch. Eric came up with a nice, mild tomato soup with some vegetables in it, and we add some lump crab and serve it with a nice cheese crostini. Kind of that tomato soup grilled cheese combo, but with crab meat in it, pretty good twist on it. But pasta, definitely an option with soft shell crabs to make a meal out of it. We are up against the quarter hour, So we're going to have to get a couple of words in here from our great sponsors, and we'll be back at the table.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Come join us for the 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd from 11 to 4 at the County Fairgrounds, South County Park in Ringo's. There'll be food, there'll be music, there'll be games, fun for the whole family, pony rides and a petting zoo, reptile shows by Michael Schwedick, outdoor games and activities, a shred event sponsored by the Hunterdon County Clerk from 11 to 3, tethered balloon rides by Unity Bank. The 4th Annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 3rd, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the Board of Chosen Freeholders of Hunterdon County, Hunterdon Healthcare, Unity Bank, Jersey Mike's and Subs. For all the great details and information, visit HunterdonChamber.org or give us a call at 908-782-7115.
All right, we're back at the table here. Chef Bill's Table at HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Yeah, so even celebrating quiche this week, instead of a quiche Lorraine, crab meat quiche, if you choose not to do the soft shell route and get some nice jumbo lump crab, would be a great addition to a quiche with the egg. And probably, being that it's spring, I would blanch some asparagus and put it in there. I have a crab meat and asparagus quiche. And, of course, one of our menu standbys at Jake's, crab meat guacamole. So even avocado, if you were doing a fried soft-shell sandwich, obviously a little guac on there is not going to hurt. But, crab would go well. If you want just the meat, it would go well in a quiche. And a simple lunch or dinner. Soft shell crabs, lemon caper sauce. I mean, anything that you're doing with sautéed seafood works well. We've done them Cajun, where you heat the cast iron pan, put the Cajun spice, and kind of not really blacken them too much, but quick cooking like that. I mean, we kind of do whatever our guests want at the restaurant. So any of our cooking methods it's all fair game, right? But a simple crab lunch, you'd want some bread and some salad. But in lieu of bread, another seasonal thing should be creeping up pretty soon. One of the early harvests, of course, is strawberries. Now, good news on salad, the greens seem to have come back to normal. We had that big run-up in pricing with the romaine and the iceberg and the leaf lettuces because of the one season ending and another one not beginning, and a couple of other quirks of nature there kind of put a real spike in, hurt the supply, and just wasn't around. And what was around was not of great quality. So things seem to be back to normal. So nice to have a good salad with your soft shell crabs. And again, whether you're sauteing them, frying them, but your bread portion of it, how about strawberry shortcake? One of those just old-fashioned good food desserts, especially if you have your own berries or you're getting some, right locally as they come in. I know my father always had some strawberries growing, and we used to actually freeze them a lot of the harvest and use them throughout the year. My mother, I know she made jam once or twice. I think that's a little more of a work and canning them and stuff, but frozen is very good. But it's, I guess the differences of opinions come with what's the shortcake. You know, the simplest, some people just do berries and pound cake, let's say, or I guess in the stores you still get those little sponge, those little round sponges there, sponge cake, which is, I don't know, what kind of like a Twinkie without the filling. I don't know, that kind of commercially prepared sponge. And, again, for convenience, it's all right. But shortcake to me is a biscuit, and nothing is better than a good homemade baking powder biscuit. Right? And the recipe I used to use, instead of shortening, called for cold butter. So this would be, you know, a little flaky, not quite as flaky, just like with a pie crust. If you use some butter, the butter has a little water in there, so you're not just putting the fat in between the layers. You've got a little bit of water. But this is a more of a tender shortcake. And it called for cream also. So what you do is, with your flour, you've got your sugar, your salt, you have to cut in the butter or the shortening. But I like, again, use some hard butter. And there's a couple of ways you can do that. I've used the tips of my fingers, just kind of pulling very quickly. You have to worry about warming up the butter with your skin temperature. You don't want to get it. You've got to work fast. Or using two table knives, just kind of cross the knives, cutting it up, and it should, you know, you could do it a food processor, very simple with the dough blade on it there. It gives you that nice crumbly effect. But the larger the pieces are of butter, you know, you're going to have some more distinct flakes in the dough. But try it with butter. It gives it a very good flavor. And, of course, like with all sweet dishes, that little pinch of salt. I would use unsalted butter and then add salt. I would not use salted butter. That might be almost too much salt. You're not doing a savory shortcake. So the biscuits, you don't want to handle the dough too much. You don't want to really mix the butter and the flour. You want them to be separate. That's what's going to make your little flakiness there. Of course, you've got your baking powder. And I like drop biscuits rather than rolled. I mean, the rolled are a little more consistent in size and the height, but and anything that can be dropped can be rolled. If it's a batter that you're dropping off by spoonfuls, you know, you can always add a little bench flour and roll them out. If you're cutting them with a cutter, we like to go straight down, flour the cutter first so the biscuit doesn't stick in there. You really don't want to turn it after you're cutting it. Just go straight down and lift it out. And the biscuits you can put kind of close together, so as they rise, they kind of touch each other, or you could keep them separate. The drop biscuits get that nice, all that texture. You've got a rough surface. When you're rolling them, you've got a smooth surface. The drop biscuits have so much more crunch. You make a mound of dough, and it looks like a dome when it's done. And you let them cool, and then split them and fill them. Now, your strawberries, very simple. Of course, we like to wash them and hull them. Leave a few whole ones for garnish, but you're going to slice them and sugar them. Now, you can flavor them with something. If you have a, you know, a little liqueur or something you'd like to put in there, or wine, marsala, sweet marsala, if you like that kind of flavor. But a little bit of sugar, and what that's going to do is draw out the moisture. So you're going to have these juices with the berries, and that's what you want. You need some of that juice. That's going to put soak into the bottom crust of this shortcake. And you can sugar to taste, you know, if you don't like it too sweet, but you need really as much for flavor, you need it to draw that liquid out of the berries. You don't want to cook them. You don't want to make a strawberry filling. That's something else. And then, of course, your whipped cream. Now, if you have to use non-dairy for some reason or a low-fat one, but really heavy cream, and you don't need to use that much. But whipping cream, you want to whip it to soft so you can kind of spoon it. You don't need to pipe it. And then a little bit of sugar and vanilla in there. Use the confectioner's sugar. And again, you can sweeten it as much or as little as you want. Some people might even use a creme fraiche, have that little sourness to it, if you like. And split the biscuit. Put your strawberries and juice on the bottom one. And then the biscuit, now you could put a little whipped cream in there if you like. And then make your sandwich, put the top biscuit on, and then spoon more of the juice over top. You could put some of the berries around the plate if you like. Top it with whipped cream, and of course your garnish would be one of the whole strawberries that you've reserved. And really, a fresh room temperature biscuit, and the berries, you can chill them or not, but you got that cold whipped cream, and what better dessert, what better way to celebrate spring and summer, a strawberry shortcake. Wrapping up, I'm getting toward the end of the hour here. I'm going to have to be moving on down the line, as they say. So have fun with soft-shell crabs. Remember scallops. The season resets, and the quotas reset in March, so prices may have eased off a little bit. Always a good treat. Treat them, again, gently, with respect, and sometimes maybe enjoy the scallop as part of a greater dish, like garnishing, a seafood bisque or maybe a crab soup, and sear one scallop and put in there. And if you get a chance, it was Taylor Bay used to harvest them, the aquaculture company. We used to get the live scallops, clean them, and just simply broil them or do a little, you know, peppers, maybe like a casino style. But if you can get live scallops in the shell, a little cleaning work to do. They're, again, very easy to open. And you have that little good nugget of flavor there. Just take off the guts and stuff that are around it. And something new, something different. But fresh scallop like that, you know, versus one that's been hanging around, no comparison. But I guess I'm saying, you know, it's spring. Enjoy seafood. I know for at the restaurant, summer is our season. We had lobster cob salad on Mother's Day. We'll be getting as soon as lobster prices ease up. Well, when the jerseys start shedding, you know, it takes a little pressure off the market, and start with the lobster rolls or lobster sliders. Who knows, right? It's summer is that good time for that. Next week, probably grilling season's coming up too. So we've got plenty to look forward to in the next few weeks. Chef Bill signing off. Catch you next week. Bodhisattva, would you take me by the hand? Can you show me the shine of your Japan? The sparkle of your China? Can you show me Bodhisattva, Bodhisattva? I'm going to sell my house now. The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
shut down as the day begins, but lawmakers are being ordered back to the capital of Trenton today to try to hammer out a new budget agreement. Governor Chris Christie says for now his hands are tied.